Hello everyone, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Crankcast, Season 2, Episode 13. I'm your host, Tudor, and welcome to the show. It's been a week. It's been a week where a lot of stuff happened. And so, we have plenty of stuff to discuss, actually. Both news-wise and sort of Crank It update-wise. And we have some stuff to talk about in the jibber-jabber section. So, a lot of things to go through. That being said, let's jump straight through the news topics and see what was the main stuff that happened this week. And actually, this time we only have four, but I think there are four pretty interesting ones. So that being said, the first one: KTM officially announced the new 1290 Super Duke RR Special Edition motorcycle. And the second news is another bit of Exotica, because we have the new 2021 MV Agusta Super Veloce lineup of the bikes, you know, of the retro-inspired bikes. So I have some MV Agusta news. Then we have some MotoGP news, where Jack Miller and Ikor Lecuona recently undertook arm pump surgery. So we're going to talk about that one for a quick second. And then finally, we have Dunlop, Michael Dunlop, not out of Mentity Racer, but the motorcycle tire company. They launched a new tire, and usually I would definitely not comment on this, but they launched a street legal trials tire. So we had to talk about that one, but we're gonna talk about it later. That being said, let's take all the things in order, as we should. And so let me organize stuff around here, because it's a mess. It's late. I didn't have time to organize that well for this podcast, but it's gonna be fine. Everybody, it's gonna be fine. Okay. So we're back on track. Let's hope I don't forget to also change the graphics back here. But that being said, first news of this week is KTM's new, well, it's not exactly new, but it's KTM's limited edition 1290 Super Duke Double R. And I mentioned this bike previously on another podcast. I think I mentioned it about maybe a month ago, like 4 weeks ago, something like that. And we talked about this bike, and we had some spy shots back then, but now we have actual specs and actual data about it. So here's what we know about it so far. Weight is about 180 kilograms. That's pretty neat. Yeah, that's a really light package, and the engine produces 180 horsepower, so that gives it a 1-to-1 power-to-weight ratio. In a bike that already wanted to wheelie in basically any gear, you can imagine it's actually pretty mad, in the best way possible, of course. So yeah, 180 kilograms. Part of this is actually because of its carbon bodywork. Now, this is something that you could get on other Super Dukes as aftermarket parts, but now they come standard from KTM. So that should be honestly pretty cool, right? They're light, they look amazing. Going with the sort of weight reduction theme, we also have forged wheels, which are, from what I read, about 1.5 kilograms lighter. Which might not seem like much, right? 1.5 kilos, but you have to keep into consideration that this is rotational mass. So you feel rotational mass much more than you feel like static mass, right? So having 10 kilos extra like on the rider will not feel as bad as having 1 kilo extra on the wheel, if it makes any sense. But yeah, that is lighter as well, but the party piece of this bike is actually not the engine, because the engine is, it's basically like in the standard Super Duke, not much of a difference there. The biggest change actually comes in suspension. So these new bikes comes with a full WP Apex Pro setup, that's front and rear. So the front is going to be a closed cartridge, fully adjustable suspension, and so is going to be the back. So this is an option from WP that you can only get on the special edition RR version. So you want the fancy bits, suspension bits? Well, you're going to have to pay up for it, you know, with this version. But yeah, other than that, standard, it's not going to come with the standard exhaust. It's actually going to come standard with the Akrapovic titanium slip-on exhaust with a carbon fiber tip. That's cool, but I bet you whoever's going to buy this bike is going to immediately go for the Akrapovic Racing Line exhaust, which is also available for this bike. So yeah, these are the specs, really. There are some cool stuff, right? Like the suspension and stuff, but there are, and the like carbon fiber and stuff, but it kind of, look, I'm a KTM fanboy, right? But it kind of begs the question, is this bike actually that special? I mean, yes, they only make 500 of these. But is anything from here not replicable with mods? And I'm afraid not really. I mean, you could argue the suspension. But you can upgrade the standard suspension on Super Duke with aftermarket stuff as well. Carbon bits, you can put them on there. You can put lighter wheels on a standard Super Duke. It's not that hard, given some money, to upgrade your standard Super Duke to this RR version. Yes, they're only going to make 500, but I don't think this bike is actually that special. Do not get me wrong, it's going to be a bonkers bike. I mean, even the standard bike is a bonkers bike, so I imagine the RR is going to be even more bonkers. It's going to be an amazing bike to ride. I just thought it's going to be as special, right? It's not going to have that sort of that Ducati Desmo Sedici vibe to it, right? That exclusivity that you get with a bike like that. That's not as cool for a special edition bike. But that being said, a Super Duke RR is going to be a cool bike no matter what. So it's sort of a bit of a give and take here. I guess it kind of depends a lot on the person who's going to buy this. But yeah, this was the KTM. And now we're going to need to go to the second bit of the news. And oh no, I cannot. Okay, managed to change the picture. Technical difficulties as usual. But the second bit of news is actually coming from Italy, and it's MV Agusta's launch of the new Super Veloce line for the 2021 models. So what is this Super Veloce line? MV Agusta basically decided to create some new cafe racer-inspired motorcycles, but I think they did it the best out of almost any manufacturer that tried something like this, and here's why. So, first of all, this bike is absolutely gorgeous. It's stunning. It's amazing. I want to take it home, and I want to marry this bike. It's that cool looking. It's like from the front, you have the sort of retro feeling with the round headlight, but then you also have the modern LED stuff and modern, like, fluent and easygoing lines, sort of. But then you have the exposed frame on the sides as well, which sort of take you back to the era where you only really had the front fairing, right? And the side fairings were not there. This is inspired by the bikes that Giacomo Agostini wrote in the 60s and 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So that those bikes, those race bikes, were the inspiration for this. And yeah, you can see why. It's gorgeous. But at the base of it, this is not a brand new motorcycle. This is based on another model. It's based on MV Agusta's F3 800 sports bike, which is not bad at all, because this is an 800cc triple engine, so it should make some really nice noises, both exhaust and induction noises. It produces a really respectable 147 horsepower. That's proper quick for a retro homage like this. I mean, most companies who build these sort of retro-inspired cafe racer don't really think that much about performance. They're more about the style, about the look, about the lifestyle of it. Not MV. MV decided to go balls to the walls and say, like, hey, we're going to give you the most bonkers sports bike. Because at the end of the day, a cafe racer, that was the purpose of a cafe racer, to race to places. And yeah, I'm glad MV did this, because they're one of the only manufacturers that do this segment properly now. This should be amazing. Now, this engine, being a relatively new engine, is Euro 5 compliant, of course, because it's going to be sold in Europe. I mean, it's an Italian company, of course it is. So they will offer, like, they did a really good job on the engine, but in theory, they will do a really good job on the handling as well. This was a main focus of it, because, so they stiffened up the chassis starting from the F3, and then you have all the electronics you would expect. So you have traction control, you have wheelie control, blah, 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 all of this stuff. And all of this doesn't matter. So we don't know price, and I don't think that matters that much, but we don't know price. But it doesn't matter, because what you're seeing down there is the S model. And one of the standout features of the S model is going to be a special livery, a white and gold livery. And I think I just finished in my pants. It's so, so, so beautiful. I have a similar reaction now as I had when I first saw the Brutale 800 Dragster RR, also from MV Agusta a few years ago. It's so beautiful. It's so pleasant to look at. It's just a really cool bike that, well, it's definitely going to be on my bucket list for the future, for sure. But yeah, this was the MV Agusta Super Veloce. Drop a comment. What do you think about this one? I honestly love it. And I'll definitely have to add this bike to my sort of bucket list of bikes to own one day. Now, it's time to go to just a bit of racing. Well, not actually racing, so we're not going to talk about the latest sort of MotoGP results from Qatar and stuff like that. This is not the podcast for it, right? This is not a sports podcast. If something amazing happens, sure, we're going to talk about it, but yeah, not this time. But we're going to talk about racing, but we're going to talk about Jack Miller and actually Igor Lecuona getting surgery. They both underwent surgery recently. They underwent a thing called arm pump surgery. Now, what exactly is arm pump for the people who maybe aren't aware of this? This is a thing that's been more relevant in MotoGP in the past years, but you hear about it a lot more in a sport like motocross, for example. So on a bike, a lot of things that you do with your hands, right? And then there's a lot of pressure going to it. And arm pump is basically a feeling you get when you're completely exhausted in a way. So imagine on a motocross bike and going through whoops. Like if you go through whoops, like for half an hour, your arms are going to be destroyed. And that's sort of what arm pump is. Technically speaking, like medically speaking, it's fairly simple to explain, right? So you get a lot of muscle, a lot of blood pumped into your muscles, but then your muscles can only contain so much blood, and that's when basically it starts to get painful. And this is the thing with arm pump. And so these riders underwent surgery. Now, at least for Jack Miller, recovery should be fairly quick. So he should be recovered for the next Grand Prix, which I think is Portimao. Now, he might not be at 100% fitness level. We have to accept that. I mean, hey, he underwent surgery. But he should be back on track fairly soon. And this is a surgery that a lot more riders have been undertaking and completing and recovering from successfully. Some of these riders include the Fabio Quartararo, Dani Pedrosa, or even Carl Crutchlow. I think Quartararo actually had the surgery to both his arms, not only one of them. So that's, yeah, just to give you an idea of how common the surgery is. But yeah, hope we're going to see them healthy. Hope we're going to see them fighting again for first place, maybe fighting for a title. Who knows? But yeah, I'm excited to see these riders do the absolute best and know that different sort of bits of pain in different parts of their body shouldn't interfere from now on with their riding, because they're amazing riders. And now, it's time to talk about our last news topic. Oh wow, that's a small picture. I really thought this was going to be one of the episodes where we're going to have no technical difficulties, where it's going to go perfectly well, right? Never forget to switch the pictures, but then I get this stupid thing. Can I not? Okay, no, I can't. Doesn't matter. The point is, Dunlop releases a new tire, and it's a street-legal trials tire. My first question when I saw this was, why? Why? Who asked for this? Who is going to take their trials bike on the road? So Dunlop basically released this tire, which looks exactly like a trials tire, and it is aimed towards that section, but it is DOT compliant, so that means you are legal to take it on the road. My issue with this is that even if your tire would be legal to take on the road, do realize that trials bikes don't really have seats. I'm not talking about headlights. I'm not talking about turn signals, about other lights in the back, about emissions, stuff like that. No, I'm not talking about any of these. Trials bikes do not have seats. That will never be road legal. I have never seen a trials bike that's road legal in my life. And if you know someone with a road legal trials bike, do not worry. They probably paid someone or know someone at the technical inspection center, because it's impossible to get a bike that was basically, it's the opposite of anything that's street legal. So it boggles my mind how someone thought that making a tire for this that makes a bike street legal would be a good idea, because those bikes will never be street legal. Maybe I'm missing something. Like, I know, for example, that there are a bunch of dual sport riders that enjoy these sort of tires because they really grip you off-road. But then the problem with that is that, yes, you have a lot of grip then on small technical, on slow technical sections. But your tire is going to run out so fast because of all that grip you have in the off-road, because it has to be a soft tire, that you're going to run through tires like there's no tomorrow. And it's not going to be good on the road. And even then, you're going to have some compromise for off the road. So I'm struggling to really understand the purpose of this tire. Like, who is it actually made for? Who will use this? I do not know, Dunlop. Who asked for this? Seriously. I'm going to predict it's going to be a flop. Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do if it's going to say, hey, I mean, I wish Dunlop all the best luck in the world with this tire. I never wish companies would fail. But in this case, I find it kind of hard to see how this could be successful, how this could be a good idea. But yeah, we're gonna have to see. Trials bikes are really niche already, so building special trials tire for something that's even more niche than this niche. Good luck, Dunlop. That's really all I can say. But now it's time to go into our next section, because the news is over. This was it. This was the most important thing, things that I could talk about from this week. And yeah, learning from last time, I think keeping the news section a bit lower on the amount of content, but maybe talking a bit more in depth about these sections is a good idea. So this is basically exactly what I'm doing right now. But it's time to go into the second section of this podcast, which is called Jibber Jabber. And this week's topic that we're going to like ramble and rant about is going to be about servicing your own bike. And that's because I had to do a few stuff to my mystery bike that I'm still not going to mention in this podcast, because the next video is about it. But yeah... we're going to talk about servicing your bike. So, first of all, man, you want to do some basic... I'm not talking about engine rebuilds, about respoking a wheel, about stuff like... No. I'm talking about basic servicing. I'm talking about, I don't know, changing your oil, changing your brake pads. Simple stuff. Basic stuff. Stuff that theoretically anyone should be able to do in their driveway. And it kind of makes sense to start doing stuff like that, especially if you are passionate about motorcycles and if you're into this sort of, not only sport, but into this domain. So, first time you do anything will be the hardest. So, if you see a tutorial on YouTube on removing your brake pads, if the tutorial is 5 minutes long, it's probably going to take you half an hour. And it's fine, because after doing it the first time, don't worry, it's going to be better next time. And the way I know this is because this is exactly what happened with me trying to change the brake pads on my Super Duke car. So, I might have slipped something there. Oh well, you might know now what my new bike is. But I know that not a lot of people listen to this podcast, so we're still good, I guess. I was trying to change the front brake pads on my new bike. And the front ones took so much time, right? So I managed to get the spanners, I managed to get the caliper out, and then I managed... Then it came that time to get the pads out, and that was such a pain on the third one, because I had to understand the mechanism and how it works, right? So I had to understand where do I push on the spring and how do I need to move the brake pad inside the caliper so that I can get it out of that caliper, because the systems can vary from bike to bike, and they do usually vary. So the first brake pad took me about 5 minutes... 6 minutes to remove. Next one took me about a minute. And then in the other caliper on the other side, it took me about 30 seconds in total to remove both brake pads from that caliper. It's sort of an exponential decrease, right? So the first time it's going to be longest, and then you're just going to get used to it and it's going to be fine. Second thing I wanted to mention here is that YouTube is indeed your friend. YouTube, everything, tutorials, forums, anything you can, any bit of information you can, gather it and get it around. And not only that, but have it with you. because sometimes it's so much easier to find a YouTube video that already has the torque specs, for example, for what you might need. This is exactly how I did, and there were some really useful infos on changing the pads on my bike. It also included the torque specs, like with screenshots from the manual. So I had the torque specs there, I just put the keys on my torque wrench, boom, it's tightened to the proper torque. YouTube and forums are truly are your friend, but also make sure to sort of validate some info if it seems a bit weird for some reason. You may do useless stuff is my third point. So I was changing the brake pads, right? And I ordered the rear brake pads as well, because I was like, hey, I'm doing a brake pad change, so the rears are probably also quite worn out. It's kind of hard to check the rears on my bike because the caliper is inside the wheel, if it makes any sense. But yeah, it's a bit hard to check them. So first things first, I actually took off the rear caliper. So I took, I unbolted the rear sort of fender, took it a bit out of the way, and then unbolted the rear caliper, took that out, and then I tried to bash the pin, I removed the safety pin, and I tried to get it out of the caliper, like the pin itself, safety clip from the pin I removed. So I had to remove the pin itself. And oh man, that was, I didn't have the proper tool on me at that point. I didn't want to scratch the caliper, so I tried it and I kind of failed. And after like 3 or 4 minutes of trying, I was like, oh, come on, man. And so I looked inside the caliper and the pads were perfectly fine. There were like more than like 2/3 of the meat was still on there. And that's the moment when I realized that I bought these brake pads for nothing. I mean, sure, I'm going to replace them at some point in the future, but I took off the caliper for basically nothing. I did all this work for nothing. I'm never going to see any benefit from it. So that's always fun when you realize that you're doing useless work. So then again, of course, I had to put a caliper back on and yada, yada, yada. So yeah, you may do this stuff, but still, why would you do this? Why would you try service your own bike? And it's easy, right? It is cheaper. Like the parts you might find actually cheaper than from a shop. Not always, and to some shops you can take your own parts too. But yeah, at times you might be cheaper off in parts. But most importantly, you do not have to pay the labor of a shop. Now, sure, it's going to take you a lot more time, but you're not going to have to pay something to do it. And we all have some spare time from time to time, so it's not like, yeah, if I was working there that time, I could make the money, take to the shop, and blah, blah, blah. The reality is that we all have some spare time, and if you want to do this in a spare time, then hey, why not? And it's also less time consuming actually than taking it to a shop, because you have to take into consideration, if you go to just change your brake pads, right, that can be a half an hour trip to the shop and then half an hour back. Even if the actual changing of the brake pads takes 10 minutes for that shop, just the road to take it there and back, that's time wasted. You'll waste like an hour or something, and in that total of an hour and a half, for example, you could have easily changed them by yourself and even quicker. So actually you are kind of saving time, and then maybe you can earn money. That, but this is not a financial channel, whatever. But yeah, it can be cheaper and it can save you time, that's for sure. One thing I did find out actually is that some shops, if they're really cool shops, they will actually give you advice about how to do different stuff. I remember I called a shop, so they mainly did enduro suspensions, and they did suspension on my supermoto as well. But they mainly did these enduro suspensions, and I called them. I had a Ducati Monster 600 back then, and I had an issue with the joint between the frame and the front forks, with the stem. And I wanted to go there, because I know that you did some suspension stuff. I was like, okay, well, let's check them out. And they didn't do street bike suspension, right? So they said, well, we're sorry, we don't really do this. But what they did was give me some advice, right? So they asked me, okay, did you try doing that? Did you try tightening this? Did you try loosening that, tightening that? And they did this over the phone. And I, of course, never had to pay them anything. I never even met them. But some shops are so cool. And especially in this motorcycle community, especially the sort of smaller shops, these more boutique places, they can be really cool about it. And they can be really helpful. And yeah, it's good to make sort of friends from these places. Honestly, they can be so helpful sometimes that you don't even realize it, only maybe afterwards, after you finished your job with them. But that action, for example, did give them a future customer, because after that, I've taken a lot of bikes to them. So yeah, it was sort of a win-win for them as well. Free advice, but then they got more clientele in the long term. So we have about 4 minutes left, and I guess it's time to talk about the Crankit update. So the first section of this podcast, so what are we doing with the fleet of bikes and the videos? So let's start with the Supermoto, because that's a bit more interesting. So the shop had started working on the Supermoto, and then the second day they actually called me, hey, can you come to the shop? I was like, okay. So I ran there, and they told me, hey, did the bike always sound like this? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, they had trouble starting it, probably because the gas was in the carburetor was really old. It was like 6 months old or something like that. But even then, like, they managed to start it, and they were like, yeah, this is not normal, right? And they had a huge sort of backfire, and there was a lot of pressure coming out of the airbox, which is obviously not normal. Apparently they discovered some sort of engine issue. It was something related to the valves, but it was fixed, so it didn't need a rebuild or anything like that. It just needed some stuff changed with the valves. And then also, they dived into the electrical issues, and oh man, there are many. So remember in my video on Crankit, when I saw the amount of duct tape put on the electrical system in my face? Well, this was them right now, and they are good. So they have one really good electrician over there, so they should definitely fix all my issues and put it properly so it's not a huge fire hazard. But I kind of expected this. I kind of expected some stuff to go wrong, but I give them sort of a free hand. Like, look, do whatever you think it's best. I want this bike to be as good as possible. Just do whatever you think it's best, and I'm good with that. So yeah, they're completely redoing the electrical system, and they also serviced my engine a bit. I filmed the intro for the new video. And actually this weekend I plan on filming a lot of this new video. I'm going to make spare a day, film as much as I can from it. I'm not going to be able to film the entire thing at once. I don't think so, at least. Siri, what the? Well, Siri activating right there. So I'm going to try to film the next video, and hope maybe by next week we should have a new Crankit video, and then we should start pumping videos a bit more often, because riding season is here. I mean, I say that, but it just started snowing outside again. Like, it's bloody April. I don't understand this. I don't understand how weather works at this point. But yeah, and then I also replaced the hose, breather hose for the tank in my KTM Enduro bike, and then also fixed some plastics with zip ties, because hey, it works, right? I broke the plastic last time when I threw the bike onto a rock, I fixed it with zip ties. That was it for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Now, don't forget to maybe, if you enjoyed this video or this podcast, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you're listening to this. Or maybe even leave a like if you're on YouTube. Comment down below for with feedback. I'd love feedback. And do not forget that we have a main YouTube channel where we post motorcycle films. That's called Crankit. I also have an Instagram. That's crank.it. And then we have a TikTok, which we're really active on lately. And I plan on staying that way on TikTok. It's crank_it. Yeah, these are all the social media plugs, and until next time, have a good one. Bye.